right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought he was, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look. You've got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't...
Oh, fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hello. What?
It's a very exciting week.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I can soon, after tonight's episode, I hope I can soon cross one of my goals for this show off of the list.
Which is?
To have an entire show of just listener voicemails.
It's close.
I want to do one show that is nothing but voicemails.
Wow.
We could do it.
This show would be pretty close.
No.
Yeah, but, just voicemails.
So I'm thinking,
we just play them together.
Yes, that's it. No answer.
The best of GVM Live.
What's that show on NPR that does the credits? They call in and read the credits.
Radiolab does.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, Radiolab. We could do that one.
I'm thinking we need like 10 voicemails to do it.
So you mean just go from voicemail to voicemail? You don't mean
it.
Literally
yeah.
just play
Yeah, just a,
show,
a voicemail but... show.
Yeah. What do we have
I think
to?
We need
five?
About 10. We got 5 for this week.
Yeah, let's see if we can beat that. How can you participate, you ask? It's a great question. You call the GVM line at 425-920-6050, and we know plenty of people already know the number.
That's right.
Yeah, at least 5 of them.
Well, I've been promoting it on the Twitter
yeah.
as well.
No, it's,
on
the you tweets. Know what? So. We have said for a very long time how much we appreciate the interaction. We get calls. We don't always use all the calls that we get. We get calls that are simply like, you know, you guys suck.
Yeah, we don't play those ones anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Not anymore. Used to play them because
we'll
they were hysterical.
Well, remember the... You're not going to know this, but yeah. Remember back in the day, we had a guy that called 2 and 3 times a week for
oh, yeah.
like 2 months. He was either drunk or high.
Or both.
Or both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the same... It was literally like, you guys fucking suck. And wait, what? What podcast? What... Huh? Clank.
Yeah.
And they call back like 10 minutes later. If you looked at the timestamps on the call, they'd yep. literally be like in like a 30-minute span.
It's when
he would
we
call
were
like
on
four times.
It's when we were on SiriusXM.
Got it.
Well,
generating well, all those calls.
All of that content.
That's adorable.
The good old days.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. Hey, you know, I'm just saying there's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yep.
That the 3 of us may be back on SiriusXM, at least for one show.
Yeah.
That is true.
That's fine. I would take future. It. I like when we pop in and do a little something.
Of course, it would be fun and lovely.
Yep, absolutely.
The Eric Nagel experience.
Is that Studio R then?
No, that's Studio
Q2?
X. I don't know what that studio.
I don't know that we ever named that That's not our studio, so we wouldn't name it.
That's right.
It would just be the
Studio Live.
XM Sirius Studios.
But, of course.
Sirius XM Studios.
This is episode 336.
Yes. And we're calling it Phones Are A-Ringin'.
Because they are a-ringin'.
Yeah, and you know, this is one of those opportunities that we like to take when we do get a bunch of phone calls that we actually like.
Yeah.
This is the opportunity that we take a couple of times a year when we, you know, play a lot of listener calls. And they all happen to be great, the ones that we've chosen. And but keep them coming in. We definitely want to keep this sort of momentum going. And you can do that by calling the GVM line.
At 425-920-6050.
Not the best color man in the business for no reason.
That's right. So let's issue a challenge, though.
Okay.
I want 10 good, quality, usable...
proper quality.
...calls. You have 2 weeks, so we'll save them up.
Oh, yeah.
And then let's do a voicemail show.
That would be
maybe
nice.
Maybe we'll even do like a special show. Like we'll do like a regular show that week,
and then
we'll
the voicemail show.
We'll do a voicemail show.
You mean we're gonna do double the work?
I'm just saying.
Hey, maybe. That's on you. That's on you, OG. Yeah,
but that one's easy though. Voicemails. I just put up a picture of a phone for an hour. That's it.
And done.
And a ringing sound effect once in a while, and we're done. That's it.
That old ringing sound effect. I have that somewhere. I'm sure
we used to have one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Long before Monitor ran off with all that stuff.
No, that one we still have, I think.
Oh, do we still have it somewhere in the archive?
I think I can send you that one.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's take our first
break.
Listener. Yes, all right. Let's take our first break, and we'll be right back. No, let's take our first voicemail.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey, guys. Your super fan, Steven, a.k.a. CLE Steven on Twitter. Definitely still loving the show, and I'm still going back and listening to older episodes. A couple questions. I did listen to your 8-year anniversary episode, and it was kind of cool to see where you guys started. I'm kind of curious to see where Scapegoat and OG got their nicknames from. Not sure if he is a gangster or if he's an OG, like original geek. Just kind of curious there. Had a quick question for someone interested in starting their own podcast. Do you have any suggestions? And my final question is, are you guys familiar with Loot Crate, lootcrate.com? I'm guessing you are, either of you or any of you actually have it. I actually just signed up for this month's villains. I'm interested to see what I get. Just, you know, seeing thoughts on that with it having Funko and other toys possibly in it. Enjoy the show. You guys have a good one. Bye.
Well, we can address all of those things.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's fairly
Let's
easy.
Take them in order.
Okay.
First, he said he enjoyed the 8-year anniversary show. No, you didn't.
Sure he did. That's the one where we played the opening segment to episode one.
Oh, I remember.
Hey, look, some people like that show.
Cringeworthy.
In theory, there are people that have listened to us from the beginning.
In theory.
In theory.
In fact,
statistically, zero out of three of them are in this room.
Two of them are in this room.
You didn't listen, though. Let's be honest.
No, no.
In the early days.
Between he and I, we listened, believe me.
In the early days, we almost had to because we were like taking... We actually were very diligent about our show back then.
Yeah.
We would take notes each week.
Yes.
Like a director gives notes.
Yep.
And we would come back and we would have like a pre-show.
Yeah.
Previous
okay,
show
here's,
meeting.
Here's what we thought of last week and so on and so forth.
That's kind of adorable.
Yeah. We gave
Too
up
bad on that. Lord of the Rings thing never got built.
We gave up on that like around episode 6, but for the first couple shows
first
at
couple,
least.
No, well, it's a good idea. It's absolutely a good idea. So if you're looking for notes on the podcast thing that you said, we have two suggestions, and I agree with Big Kev. First thing is don't start one. Don't start a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's funny, but we're really not joking. Don't do it. And second of all, be diligent. Take notes and see what you can do to improve if you care at all. If you're just trying to talk really loudly into a microphone, you don't care if someone's listening, just sign up for Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah, it really is. Or Vine.
Some shit like
that. Well, you brought up the podcast thing, so let's talk about it a little bit more. Don't go into it hoping to make money. Go into it because you really want to do it.
Right.
Like, in all seriousness, right? Like, do it because you want to...
It's got to be a passion thing,
but we're
clear.
But we need to be clear. The overall arc of the advice is don't do it.
Right, don't do it.
But if you have to do it.
If you have to do it,
and
do it because you
And that's the
really
only reason you should, if you feel that you have to do this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
If you've already, like, you know, if you're a cutter or, you know, you're into masochism. And you want to inflict further pain upon yourself, and you do decide to go forward, then this is what I say next. Please. for the love of Jeebus, get a microphone that doesn't come from a vending machine.
Yeah, agreed.
Get more than one mic if there's more than one person on your show.
Also important.
A mic in the middle of the room with six guys screaming around it,
yeah,
not going to work.
Not a good show.
It don't work.
Not going to work. And try your hardest to actually put a little bit of post-production into it.
Just a tiny amount.
Just the littlest bit helps, believe it or not. Just making sure, you know, you're not making my ears bleed, that if you are dropping in sound, that it balances with some of the other things, you know, things that we still don't do 8 years later. But we suggest
We know how.
We did it for a number of years.
That's right.
But then we
got robbed.
The point is, if someone told you, like, came over and listened to you and your friend bitch for a little bit, and they're like, you guys should have a podcast. That's not a good enough reason.
No, that is not a good enough reason.
Don't do that.
Or if you thought, holy shit, if those three assholes can do a podcast, right, fucking A, I can do one.
Also not a good enough reason.
Not a good enough reason.
No. Not a good enough reason.
Let's talk. He also, I thought also that he called you OGs.
I think that was just
for a minute, I was like, wow, why didn't we go in that direction? And so he wants to know the origin of the name OG and the origin of the name Scapegoat.
Right.
Yet no interest whatsoever in the origin of the name A Big Kev.
Well, it is kind of self-explanatory.
What does that mean?
You're a really little guy. And we like to play on that whole, you know,
the irony.
The irony.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dramatic irony.
You're a little guy, and you're like 25, right?
Yeah, 25.
Yeah. Right, according to your name's not even Kev.
Yeah,
so that's why it's
funny. So it's really just kind of funny.
It's all smoke and mirrors, folks. Just part of the show.
We'll do the OG thing, since there are some people that still don't
apparently
know.
Original Gangster was mentioned, I think, in that phone call. Or Original Geek.
Original Geek is the one I get the most.
Yeah, and that, you know what's funny about that? That those are funnier explanations than the actual explanation.
That's right. The actual explanation is when we started the show, it was Big Kev.
Right.
Was Mr. Fantastic, because our first producer looked like
Ian Grufford.
Yeah, the guy that played Mr. Fantastic in the original.
In the good FF movies.
Or in the good FF movies, if you even want to call them good.
They were good compared to what's coming.
Well, we'll get to that later in the news.
Okay.
So we called him Mr. Fantastic. And for the first couple episodes, I think I was just Matt.
You were.
Yeah, right?
And you actually introduced yourself with your actual full name.
I know.
Yeah, it's in...
It's in that episode. So then at some point in time, I think someone said, well, how come you don't have a nickname? And either you or Mr. Fantastic at the time was like, well, you're just the other guy.
No, I think,
wasn't that it?
I thought it was a caller.
I thought it was somebody... referred to me as the other guy.
You know, hey, Big Kev, Mr. Fantastic and the other guy.
Yeah. And it just kind of stuck.
I think it went that way.
It might have. But that's what it's. So it technically stands for the other guy.
Yeah. Which should be Tog, really. But OG is funny.
And it just stuck.
And Scapegoat has declined to participate.
I tried telling the story once.
Uh-huh. Right.
It happened on the episode that we can't talk about.
Right. That's right.
After
299, and it didn't go so well. So I am electing to not tell that story again.
That's right. Probably good. So Scapegoat is blaming episode 300.
We still have
not allowed to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. And the big episode. He's blaming the big episode.
There you go. The big game. It's like the big game.
He went that way.
The super.
And he also mentioned Loot Crate. I don't know anything about.
So Loot Crate is a subscription service.
Uh huh.
Where you I think you could do it on a one on an individual basis though too, right?
Yeah.
So you pretty much pay a flat fee. I don't remember what the actual cost is for Loot Crate, but you pay a flat fee, and they send you a random box of things based on that month's theme. So he said he bought into the villains theme.
Right.
Traditionally speaking, we've seen like t-shirts from, I don't know, there's a t-shirt company that works with them. Is it Shirt Punch or T-Fury? It's one of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Funko provides a lot of product for it. And then there's been like comic books and books and other geeky-related loot things that they contribute. They also do, I believe they also do, so if you buy a Loot Crate, they have like one big prize each month.
Wow.
Where like one random person will get like a pretty significant pack. But there's a couple of them. There's Loot Crate, there's Nerd Block, there's like four or five of them out there. I have not actually participated in any of them because I'm kind of starting to get over the whole blind box thing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about blind boxes later in the show as well. Okay. And so I just don't want to pay for something I don't know what I'm getting.
Meh.
I was never into grab bags either back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, like you go to like the old comic shows and you're like,
when they were like
10
trying
bucks
to,
for a grab bag.
Yeah, when they
of
were
books.
Trying
yeah.
to get rid of books.
Yeah. And
you got
know.
A $4 book and five 50 cent books in
yeah.
a $10 bag.
Yeah. Guaranteed to be $10 worth of product in this $5 bag.
Yeah.
That kind of shit. So I think the concept is cool. I've just never personally participated.
Yep.
Scapegoat? Have you participated in Loot Crate or Nerd?
Not really. There is a an Indiegogo campaign that I backed. And
right.
they partnered with Loot Crate to have like their own themed Loot Crate.
Okay.
So we're going to get a random box of stuff from it. But it was really, it was a cool perk.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Speaking of which, thank you, Scapegoat, for helping me transition into this. We need to talk about Boss Fight Studios. Their Vitruvian hacks.
Did something go bad?
No. They raised almost $500,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I thought they unlocked almost all of the structure.
They kept
codes,
adding
right?
them.
Yeah.
They just added another one right at the end. I think it was over 400,000, like $423,000 or something like that. Holy crap.
I don't want to blow up this person's spot because I don't know that he's announced what his intentions are for this, but there's someone that we know who is a customizer
uh-huh.
that I think bought in at like the cases level.
Oh really?
Like tens of figures or a hundred figures or something crazy.
Oh no, 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 no. Did he buy, it's a he.
Yeah.
Did he buy the 300?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Because they had one of their things that they offered. Yeah. It was like, I want to say it was, I don't think it was $4,000. It could be, though.
Yeah.
It was 300 Spartan soldiers and King Leonidas.
Yeah, it was. But so
I was so like, oh my God, I would love to do that.
So customizers, I think, were buying these in huge
yeah.
lots because the potential is
the bodies
is endless.
Yeah, and all of that, and we should just reiterate what these were. They're like Spartan and Gorgon themed, like.
Right.
Medusa,
yeah, like
Greek
the Medusa,
themed,
right.
Yeah. Figures that Boss Fight Studios is making. They're amazing.
But the bodies
are
perfect. And if I recall, the Spartans at least,
yeah.
the things that make them Spartan were mostly removable.
All right? Removable.
So you just had a
yep.
base hyper articulated
yep.
body
mm-hmm.
that you could do
anything
whatever
with.
The fuck you wanted
yeah.
with.
Now that said, they also did a whole bunch of things like I'm in talks with them right now to get
yeah.
A couple of things. They did one of the groups that I really like from Greek mythology is the ones that were led by Achilles, the Myrmidons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really like those guys. I always have. And they did those.
Yeah.
So I talked to them about that, a couple of pieces of this, of this, of this. So I actually want to get on board as well. And, you know, and I reached out to them and so on. And actually, they're going to be talking about that stuff on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek
oh,
Stuff.
Nice.
They're going to be talking about the next two waves of stuff that they want
awesome.
To do. And you are going to flip when you hear the ideas that they have.
Cannot wait.
I know. So that said, congratulations all over the place, up, down, left, right, and sideways to Boss Fight Studios. I think this changes the action figure field. I think this changes it. Because can you imagine if Boss Fight had gotten a license?
I know.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. I mean, and there was a slew. If you look at all the figures that they're, if you look at the page for the Kickstarter
yeah.
and you see all the different figures, they did skeletons as well.
Yep, I saw.
If you look at all the different figures that they're doing in that, that's a full line of figures.
Oh, of course.
It's a full line of figures built off of a base kind of simple idea, and they're really fantastic. I told you, I've seen a couple of them
yeah.
in person, and I'm flabbergasted. I say it again. I think this changes the action figure collecting community. This is. I think we're going to look back on this program in 10 or 15 years. And we're going to say,
wow.
Remember Boss Fight Studios
yeah.
is the one that brought us to where we are today. And I think this was a huge, significant moment in
awesome.
Action figures.
What if this
know?
Episode is still around, depending on our unlimited space on
yeah.
the server.
Yes, unlimited, limited space.
Yeah.
And did the... Did the October Toys one?
It did.
And,
and it funded, yeah.
Oh, it did? Funded, yeah. Oh, great.
Yes,
great.
Yes. That's awesome. We actually get to that in another voicemail.
Oh, yes, in another segment.
Too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just the just Scapegoat, whatever Scapegoat said that triggered that off. I just remember that I really wanted to talk about that.
All right. Let's move on to another voicemail.
Game changer.
Do it.
Hey, Geek Stuff crew. Scanner 51 here from Twitter. I was reading last week that the writing crew who does Arrow are now moving over to Green Arrow, the comic book. This has made me very excited for this book because now I plan on picking it up come October when they start it. I was wondering what your thoughts and if you have any concerns are about this move. I read the digital first comic they did and I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the second one they put out as well as the Flash one. Talk to you guys later.
Okay. Well, that's good because we actually had that planned for the news this week.
But it's almost like we tied it in.
It is. It is almost like we tied it in. So I guess he wants to know first what we feel about it.
I feel fine with it. I think it's a natural transition.
Yeah.
How many times has this happened before?
I don't know that this has ever happened before.
What? Where the TV people have written comics?
Where the TV people have written the same character, but a different version of the same character while simultaneously doing the show?
Yeah.
I don't think that's happened before.
Absolutely.
With what?
When?
What's his name?
I'm not trying to be a dick. I honestly don't think it's ever happened before.
Batman animated series.
Who?
Bruce Timm.
Paul Dini.
Paul Dini.
Paul Dini.
Was writing the book at the same time? He was writing the animated series book.
He wrote
the Harlequin.
He wrote some stuff the same time that he was doing the cartoon, which was two different universes.
Okay. I don't recall that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I honestly don't recall.
I'm not saying it's not groundbreaking and awesome. Yeah. I think that it is. I just don't. The caller seemed to think that we should be concerned about that.
Well, there are some concerns.
I think it's closer to Walking Dead, where they're writing the show and comic at the same time, and it's a different universe because they're making different choices.
They are. But
there's a good example.
But I want to give you some information, though.
First, it's reversed, though.
First, yeah, I want to say the worst part about this that I could see thus far is that I really like Jeff Lemire and who's the artist? Andy Sorrentino, I think, is the artist that's doing the book right now. Yeah. And I think they've done a great job relaunching Green Arrow in the 52 universe. So they're leaving for this new team to come on board.
But is this an extended gig? Does it say
it is? It's not a single issue. It's they're going to become the new team on the book.
That's interesting.
And Jeff Lemire is moving on to other things, which he's fine with. I mean, it's not like he was kicked off the book for these guys. He did a run. I think he picked up with issue 17. So he wrote 17 to 35. I mean, that's a good run, you know?
Yeah.
To what's 18 issue, 17 issue run, 18 issue run. So what I like about it, my initial thoughts were, I'm afraid that it's going to become too much like the show. And while I like the show, the Green Arrow from the books is not Arrow from the show.
Absolutely.
Clearly a different character, right?
Yeah.
But what they've said...
Well, or yet.
Yeah, okay.
Like he could turn into... We were even talking about this when we were talking about the Flash crossover stuff that, you know, he's developed more and more. And we're in this season now. You can kind of see him on the big screen, but you couldn't when it first started.
Right.
He can evolve into... I have the reverse problem. I think as a writer, it's harder to separate the two. So they're either going to make it so drastically different just so people don't look at it like, oh, we're the guys from the show trying to write the show into the book.
Well, it sounds like they're going to take a natural progression from where the book ends in issue 34 and move forward with that character, which is already so drastically different than the show. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be hard. There's a couple quotes that they had in regards to this.
Yeah. Give us those details.
They say that their Green Arrow, Andrew Kreisberg and Ben Sokolowski, their Green Arrow is not an adaptation of the show, but more about a cross-pollination, stocking the quiver with things that have worked on Arrow in the comics past. We really want to bring back the old school Oliver Queen
boxing arrow
to the character. In other words, the opinionated, liberal Robin Hood-esque hero that has fallen through the cracks a bit, both in the comics and in the TV models. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't want him to go too far back. I don't want him to go all the way back to Robin Hood.
Handcuff arrow?
Yeah. Well, I'd be okay with
with handcuff era. Drill be okay with era. Boxing glove era. I'd be okay with all that.
It sounds like they're trying to bring the Justice League animated version.
But what they also say is that there's going to be some characters from the show that are going to appear, but in different versions in the book. So they've already introduced Diggle.
So they're trying to canonize some of their creations into the comic book universe. So
they've already brought Diggle into the universe.
Paul Dini did with Harley Quinn.
Yep.
They already brought in Diggle, so that's okay. What I suspect is we'll see possibly Felicity.
That'd be cool.
And maybe some versions of the villains that we haven't seen in the new 52 universe that have appeared on the show. Right.
Oh, so that's an interesting
idea. Vertigo has already been in the book, so that he's off the table. Deathstroke has obviously been around. Yep. But like who's the one that Sean Marr played? The bombing one. That character.
Yeah,
I don't think he's been in the new 52 universe, so they can bring him
use his origin and kind of do a different
spin. And
kind of
work it in a little bit. Yeah. Stuff like that. Isabel Rochev, I don't believe, has been in the new 52 universe. So they can bring her in. And maybe they actually somehow tie her new 52 version into the Deathstroke story, which is completely different than her original comic book origin. So I'd see things like that, and I'm okay with those changes.
Yeah.
I put faith in them. What's his name? Not Kreisberg, the other guy, he actually wrote Green Arrow Black Canary in 2009, 2010. He wrote that book.
Oh, so they've done comics before.
He has before.
Oh, okay. That makes it a little different too.
Kreisberg it's not the worked same on the digital comic for Arrow, the TV show.
Yeah.
So again, I'm sad that Lemire is leaving. I'm okay with who's picking it up. I don't think it's going to be a big issue. I don't think it's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah. So we'll read the book and find out.
My biggest concern, to be quite honest with you, is the new artist.
Yeah.
I'm not
like the work.
Hugely in love with the art. He's okay. I'm just not head over heels about it.
It's not Chris Samnee, is it?
It is not Chris Samnee. No.
That guy sucks.
Do we want to break up our voicemails? I know we have two for segment two. We have one more for segment one, but do we want to go through some more news first and then grab it?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
Death of Wolverine. There's, anyone?
You know what? I didn't.
No one cares.
Nah.
No one believes it. No one gives a shit.
All right, well, let's talk about the biggest thing then in the news, because it is the biggest thing. It's the thing that's creating the most buzz this week.
Oh my god!
It's the Thor announcement.
Thor's a woman.
That was made on The View.
Yeah. Let's. Yeah.
By who?
I don't even know who it was.
Because
I didn't watch.
I can't remember.
It wasn't Quesada, was it?
No.
What?
I don't think so.
I don't know anyone. No, actually, I don't think anybody from Marvel was there.
Oh.
I think that just The View just was given it. The information.
No,
no,
there
I think,
was a guest.
Was there a
there
guest
was a
that
guest
did it?
And they announced it, and then Whoopi Goldberg and Jenna McCarthy talked about it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So as ridiculous that is that major comic news was announced on The View, the fact that...
It's the second time that major comic news has been announced on The View.
Well, listen, Disney, ABC, Marvel, haha, like not a big surprise. But I think it's...
No, not... I don't even... I was going to say, I think it was North Star's wedding.
Was that on The View?
The gay wedding was going to be announced
on
The View
as
well.
Yep.
I thought it was Batwoman.
But anyway,
what's interesting about this story is that people seem to care who don't care at all about comics.
Yes.
Like the issue of diversity and whatever, even if they know nothing about canon, because most people are not getting into the issue of why is Thor a woman, they're saying like, it's interesting that they're finally making a female, blah, 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 blah.
So I want to clarify something that some people I see kind of getting confused. This is not Thor becomes a woman.
Correct.
Okay, so
it's a different
this is
character.
Not Thor becomes a frog, right? Yes. This is different than that.
Yes.
Right.
This best storyline ever.
This is and here's where my Marvel knowledge failed me.
Okay.
Okay.
So
Thor is both a name,
it's
and
a, title.
A designation.
It's a title
or a title.
Whoever holds the hammer Mjolnir shall be called Thor.
Yeah. Shall have the power of Thor to be granted the power of Thor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a new person is going to get the.
So a new, it's a new character.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't announced who it is yet, but they said it's a new character. So Thor is going to do something at the end of the original Sin storyline, which is going on right now.
He's no longer
makes him worthy.
He's going to be the killer. He's going to be the guy that killed the Watcher.
You think so?
That's
pretty significant.
That's the obvious answer.
Clearly.
If he killed a Watcher, that is the obvious reason why he loses you know, right. the right to hold the hammer. Yeah,
but that almost sounds interesting. So can Marvel really do that?
No.
They could.
No, they can't.
We should also
My idea is already better.
We should also say this is not the first time that there have been other characters
who've held the hammer.
Who've had the power of Thor.
Beta Ray Bill.
Or who have been called Thor.
Yep.
Beta Ray Bill.
The Frog.
Well, the Frog was actually Thor as a frog, though. Thor magically changed into a frog known as the Frog of Thunder. Beta Ray Bill, however, was an individual character that was deemed worthy to wield Mjolnir.
And
eventually he got his own hammer.
Yep.
But he retained all the powers.
Yes.
And his hammer was Stormbreaker.
Something.
I think. But there was another character.
Shieldbreaker.
Thunderstrike. Eric Matheson, who is actually briefly a member of the Avengers as Thor for a while when Thor was also stripped of his powers they thought he killed somebody.
Pissed off somebody.
Yeah. Isn't the first time that there's been another character. I think the biggest thing is that it's a woman. It seems to be the biggest outcry and that it's just another publicity stunt. It's absolutely just another publicity stunt.
Really? Marvel doing a publicity stunt?
They did say this doesn't affect the cinematic universe at all.
No.
It does not affect the cinematic universe. Yeah, so anybody that's thought that, I mean, that's just, you're just
fucking crazy. For that joke to happen in Avengers 2.
They should cast Gwendolyn Christie to play female Thor if they have to. I'm just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there?
Just throwing it
out
there. Speaking of Avengers, did you see that
I have one more Thor thing.
Oh.
Is it Thor thing? I'm sorry.
It's an Avengers thing. Go ahead.
I thought you were going to the other Avengers thing that we had to talk about.
No.
Okay. I missed, because I'm not reading Original Sin, that Angela apparently is Loki and Thor's sister. Just throwing that out there.
Yep.
That they didn't know that they had.
Yep.
That Odin thought that he had lost.
Apparently.
In the 10th realm. Because Asgard is the...
Because as we know...
Earth is the 9th realm.
Because as we know, Odin gets around...
That's right. He's a player.
Know what I'm saying?
He's like Zeus.
He's a player.
It's the patch, baby. It's the eye patch.
That's what it is.
Ladies dig an eye patch.
So
there was Days of Our Lives.
Said Nick Fury.
Ladies dig an eye patch.
All right. What did you want? You had Avengers stuff. So let's
Avengers. Going to be on the cover of EW this week.
Yeah, that's right.
That is the news.
They showed Ultron.
Looks amazing.
And from what we know about what they've released in the plot.
Yeah. Ultron drone.
It looks like Big Kev. Nailing the plot for Avengers 2, 6-8 months ago?
Which was what? That Iron Man was going to create it?
That he creates it. That he creates it so the Avengers could, you know, not have to be in 10 places at one time. Also partially because he's ready to give up being Iron Man.
Right.
At the end of Iron Man 3 when he gets the thing removed from his chest. So he's also ready to give up being Iron Man. And what happens? Ultron, who becomes self-aware, goes, I got a better idea.
Right, right.
Get rid of all of yous.
Yeah. I think Joss Whedon's exact quote was, Ultron sees the big picture and goes, okay, we need radical change, which will be violent and appalling in order to make everything better. He's not just rubbing his hands going, mwahaha, soon I'll rule. He's on a mission. He wants to save us.
Yeah.
So clearly he creates Ultron. Ultron gets sentient, or much more sentient than he's intended to be.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, bad things happen.
Yep.
There it is.
That's it.
But he looks great.
Yeah.
The red.
Looks pretty good.
The red and the drones are the blue.
I'm going to be excited to see him in motion, in action. Because I like the photo, but, you know.
It's true, the animation is.
Yeah, that's got to be important.
I think we'll see it. I think we might see something at San Diego. I think I've heard rumors that there might be a clip at San Diego.
So. Speaking of clips.
Yeah. I'm not convinced it's legit.
I think it's legit.
We're talking, of course, the Batman Superman teaser.
Dawn of Justice. I can't even.
That leaked in some UK.
Just ass.
It leaked in some UK.
Uh-huh. Was it Latino Review?
It was no, it was UK.
Oh, so it could be legit then.
It could be legit.
I think Scapegoat and I agree on this. I think it lines up perfectly to be legit.
Yes.
Whether it's actually legit or not. Who knows?
And even that source says they're not sure that it's legit.
Right.
To me, it doesn't look like Batfleck.
Best fake ever.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It may not be Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
It looks like they're testing the theater in San Francisco. San Diego, sorry. That was weird. It looks like they're testing the theater in San Diego to play the... It has the right context.
It could be
real.
Look, it could be. We'll know in a week. We'll know in a week if it's real. We'll report back.
Yep.
Yeah. If it's not weeks, if it's but, not real, yeah. they should release this.
And we'll say yeah.
they should just say yes. This
OG OG will put a link up to the site, assuming it's still available to be seen.
I believe it's still available.
It's all over YouTube.
You can find it. So you can check it out. But for those of you that don't want to check it out, it's essentially just a bunch of monitor screens with clearly Batman standing in front of them. We are behind Batman as right. the viewer looking at the screens. There's something going on the screens, but you can't quite tell what it is.
I think it's the
footage of Superman.
I think it's the destruction of Metropolis.
From Man of Steel.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But the voiceover is Zod. When Zod addresses the world, saying he's hiding among you and we're just going to tear it up until you give him up. Yeah. It's that speech and look like Batman is watching that and listening to that. It's like that piece could have easily been placed in the Man of Steel movie during that scene.
Right.
You know, it's kind of I like the way that they did it. As far as a teaser goes, it's really interesting because we assume there's a time gap between what we're seeing in that teaser, which clearly happened during the Man of Steel, and when this film takes place, which gives Bruce a whole bunch of time to study up and investigate, as it were.
What I suspect is if this is legit, it's the opening to the film.
It could be.
Which is a flashback, right? That's what I think. That the opening
it's definitely a flashback.
I think this isn't footage from the movie. I think it's created specifically for this person.
You think so? Just for
even
Comic-Con?
So. Even so. It's still a really well done teaser.
Absolutely. I think it's just to give you another clue of visual style and to prove to you that, yes, he looks that badass, this Batman.
We should also say the video is... It's
shit.
It's someone filming a video.
Yeah, it's handy cam of a projector.
Right.
You know, like,
so
it's
hard to see everything that's going on. But
right.
All right, Big Hero 6. Let's move into that.
What an awesome trailer.
Looks great.
Really good.
I know it's varying, like, completely, except for the names of a couple of characters, right? Like Ginger, Wasabi No Ginger, and Honey Lemon, and Baymax. So aside from a couple of the names of the characters, it is drastically different than the Marvel.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. But it looks great. I like that the team behind Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Was part of it because Wreck-It Ralph was really good.
Yeah.
That Alan Tudyk is voicing one of the characters.
And so is that guy. Who's that guy? We never get this guy's name. He's now on Silicon Valley.
I hate him. I just talked about him from Transformers 4, TJ Miller.
Is that
I
his name?
Hate him.
Why do you hate him?
Because he's obnoxious.
I love him.
Oh,
I
hate him.
You know what I
hated
him
in Cloverfield?
Was he in Cloverfield?
Yes.
You know what I loved him in? Did you see...
I did not see Silicon Valley, so I can't speak to that.
Which I think he's really funny in. Do you know who we're talking about?
Skate? Yeah.
Okay. Did you see She's Out of My League with Jay Baruchel? Yes. That's the first thing I remember seeing him in, which clearly meant that I didn't pay attention to Cloverfield. I thought he was hysterical in that. I thought, here's a guy we're going to see a lot more of. And then he kind of disappeared for a while.
Yeah.
So TJ Miller is
TJ Miller.
Well, yeah. I think he's pretty good.
He's also in How to Train Your Dragon. He's the voice of one
of them. Yeah, he's voicing one of them in there too, yeah.
A couple more trailers that popped up.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. We're all happy we're missing that. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a snack.
I sent you sound for this. I shouldn't have to be doing this.
I have the sound, but every time you sing it, I don't put the sound bite in because that would just be silly and redundant.
Put the sound in anyway.
All right, the full season 8 trailer for Doctor Who.
Yeah,
popped up online. Looks great. I think definitely a different tone than Matt Smith. You can tell it's definitely going to be darker.
Older.
Yes, it's definitely darker. And I mean, it's nice because, you know, he said it himself, right? Moffat said it himself. It's getting too easy to predict the fact that every episode is going to be wacky and unpredictable. So they needed to change it up to make it interesting for themselves beyond the viewer. And it looks like they're doing that.
It looks like it's going to be great. It's coming in just over a month. I think August 23rd is the first episode of the season.
I'm excited.
Is Amy Pond in that episode?
No.
Nope. No. It's Jenna Louise Coleman.
Yes.
Who I like a lot.
I also enjoy her.
The Impossible Girl.
New trailer for Gotham.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of TV spots and stuff. And you know what's interesting?
Anymore.
They're all very different themes.
Okay. So,
and by the way, I also saw a TV spot for Guardians. I was trying to avoid it, but
I haven't watched
and
them.
And it made it that serious theme that you were talking about. Like, it's not a comedy.
Like the Europe trailer.
Yeah.
The European trailer.
Yeah. Which I avoided, but it like had that theme. You could tell they were reusing footage. You can also tell there was another color and effects pass on this footage. Anyway, that looks really good. But the point is, Gotham it has like multiple ad campaigns running so they can hit each target audience.
Yes. You know what though?
There's one that's like, look at the villains that you like from the comic geeks. Please watch this show. Please watch this show. And then there's another one. There's like, parents, remember Jada Pinkett Smith?
Yeah.
Check out this crime drama. It's not related to anything. It's not related to
anything. You know, all I see is the slow-mo back of Jim Gordon's head in everything.
Yeah.
And them slowly panning by Catwoman and the Penguin and the Riddler. And
we also,
I'm just done.
I know.
It's putting me off the show before the show even starts.
That I think each episode in season one is going to have some sort of Easter egg teasing
the Joker.
The Joker. And so the rumor is that the Joker is going to end up being introduced in the season finale.
That's awesome. So, how many years before Batman?
Many.
Just makes no fucking sense.
I don't really get. I have a feeling that the show is going to be nothing like any of the trailers.
No.
I think it's going to have very little to do with the DC like Batman thing. I don't think it's going to have much to do with that at all.
I will see.
Which is a shame.
Yeah. Other videos that popped up online, but not trailers. Weird Al's new album just came out.
This week. And he is releasing a music video a day.
Day for the next 8 days. Yeah. So we have the first three videos.
Yep.
Tacky was
the
first
Pharrell's
one.
Happy.
Right. Word Crimes,
which is Blurred Lines
by Robin Thicke.
Yep.
And the third
Pharrell.
One. And Pharrell, yeah. And the third one is Foil,
which
is
Royals
Lord's,
by Lord.
Yeah, by Lord. They're great so far.
Yeah, and he's incredible because he's still around. He's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Had a lot of roles in a lot of people's teenage / childhood / adult.
Yep.
And is still relevant and kind of funny.
And
I'm just impressed.
And,
I don't know.
You know, every time.
I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
My wife, who is a singer, right, and a performer, she's not a fan.
Well, yeah. It's parody.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's an acquired taste.
But every time I'm like, no, listen, you have to just watch. She's like, it amazes her every time that he could actually sing.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually not a bad singer. And I've seen him live.
Yeah, apparently
twice.
He's good live. Yeah.
He's amazing live. He does a costume change like nobody I've seen. Like, I've seen him in that fat suit in amount of time that is, I don't know how he does it.
In Tacky, if you haven't seen the video, it's a single shot. It's actually a single shot.
A single shot, which is quite impressive.
And there's a lot of guest stars.
Aisha Tyler.
Yep.
Jack Black.
Jack Black.
Eric Stone Street.
Margaret
Kristen
Cho.
Shaw. And Margaret Cho.
Yep. He does a costume change while running down of five flights of stairs.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Check him out.
And he's had a celebrity in each video, too. Not in Word Crimes, because Word Crimes was really, no one was really in that video.
Yeah, it was
video.
Just a kinetotype.
Right. Called. But Foil was Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
Was in that. So that came out this week. Check out the videos. I can't wait I think the final video is going to be the polka, which makes sense on a lot of levels, but I think that's going to be the eighth video will be the polka. I don't know what.
That makes sense.
4 through 7 is.
No idea.
But no idea.
But it's cool that he's got this many in the bag.
Yeah, absolutely. He clearly put a lot of work because he normally doesn't do this many videos for an album.
No,
he normally
never.
Does like two.
Two, three. Maybe.
I think which is normal for anyone. I think it's just, but it worked. I mean, like everyone from tech blogs to E! Online is reporting
has been
Weird Al
eating
has
it
video,
up.
Which is
Nerdist is reporting it daily.
Nerdist, I think, broke the first video.
Yep, they did.
So, I mean, smart move.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, Weird Al or publicist.
Yeah.
Good job.
Now he has to launch an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter UHF 2. Because
back
it. I'm just saying. All right. Let's talk about a movie that
You want Victoria Jackson back on film?
I would love to see a UHF too. Let's talk about Jurassic World, a movie that by no means I should be excited about, but I'm increasingly excited about.
Have we taken a break?
No.
We are just rolling straight through today.
Yes, we are.
Well, I want to blow through the news.
Let's go. Let's keep going. So Jurassic, why are you excited
Jurassic
about
World.
A movie?
All right. The first reason I'm excited about it is because
Dinosaurs.
Chris Pratt is
oh,
in
sorry.
It.
What were you
gonna... Is yes. starring in it.
Chris Pratt's
and
in it.
Oh, I have awesome. A newfound respect and appreciation for Chris Pratt. And I haven't even seen Guardians yet, but just reading his interviews and seeing the footage I've seen of him as Peter Quill, I'm on board with that.
And I watch Parks and Rec, so I
respect
him
and
from
Parks
another
and
level,
Rec,
too.
Right.
It's really, yeah.
I was actually a fan of the first Jurassic Park film.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, not so much.
I liked all three.
And I actually really liked the third one.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for them to go back. The concept of the film is that they open up the park. Like, Isla Nublar, the park is open. So the latest thing is the latest like viral thing is they've been tweeting photos of the brochure for the park, and like there's a presentation by Jimmy Fallon is one of the things you can go and see, and they tease all the dinosaurs. No raptor on the dinosaur list, by the way. But a couple of new dinosaurs, T-Rex pen is still there.
So how does any of this make sense?
Well, because at the end of the end of the first movie, they nuke Isla Nublar, right, to kill all the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But what you learn in the second movie is there's another island with a backup facility, right?
Is that what happened?
I think so, yeah. And
no,
then
they didn't nuke in the movie.
Yeah, didn't they blow it up at the end of the movie?
I don't think they blew it up.
I don't think there was.
Oh,
a
did
movie.
They blow it up at the end
in
of
the book?
Book
yeah.
They didn't blow it up at the end of the movie?
Yeah. But because they go back to the facility in the second and the third movie.
I thought they went to an alternate. They went to a second island.
A second location on the same island.
Was it? Because in the book, so. It was definitely a second island.
I know, but
it was
Isla Bonita?
Something. It was not Isla Bonita. But anyway, I'm excited because I'm a fan of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But the more I'm reading about it and the people involved in it, I don't know. I think it actually has the potential to be good.
I mean, I think updated, it has a lot to say about things.
Yeah.
And with CG, just looking at Guardians footage
or
any of the apes stuff.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, or any of the apes stuff. Like the fact that you can make it look that damn good now.
And,
cool.
And one other thing.
We'll see.
We talked about media outrage last week. Have you seen the Steven Spielberg sitting in front of the Triceratops?
Oh yeah, that's the funniest story ever.
And there are people that are legit upset
outraged that Steven Spielberg killed a dinosaur on a photo of Steven Spielberg that's clearly 20 years old.
Are you
No, it's not even a joke.
So what happened was all that shit that has been going on online with the girl that was posting the photos of the big game that she killed or whatever.
Yep.
So someone found a photo, which is from
the first production of the first film
with the sick Triceratops lying down. He's sitting in front of it because that was an animatronic that was in CGI. And they posted the comment was something about like, I can't believe Steven Spielberg killed this Triceratops. And like people legit got outraged.
No, I don't even want to talk about this anymore. next story.
Let's move on.
It's just fucking dumb.
Christopher Walken will be playing Captain Hook.
Oh!
In NBC's next live TV musical, which is Pan.
Wow.
Coming this Christmas.
What the fuck is that shit?
Peter Pan has not yet been cast.
What the fuck?
Although, from what I've heard, they are looking for a female.
I was going to say, is there a young female gymnast available?
They're looking for a female to play the role.
I don't like when they do that.
Yeah, but it's been a female traditionally.
So
it's been a female
what? It
for
doesn't
years.
Mean it has to be a female.
Actually, what was the movie that was actually based on J.M. Barrie's life?
That was the
one that Johnny Depp was in. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Didn't the female play Pan in that as well?
And that was what's her name?
Kate
Winslet was in it. It was I always forget her name. She's in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
You know,
but
you know her. She's like the lead Irish chick in Boardwalk Empire. She was also in Trainspotting. I always forget her name. She was the voice in
the
animated movie.
But
God,
Christopher Walken is Captain Hook.
Fail.
That's interesting.
That's terrifying.
That is terrifying. That is. I mean, he could dance. He can sing.
I don't understand why we can't have a boy play Peter Pan.
Look, maybe they'll
production.
Find. Maybe they'll change their mind. But from whatever.
You know what? In related news, I am producing a movie about Susan B. Anthony.
Yes.
That will also star Christopher Walken as
Susan
B.
Anthony. I'm down.
Yeah, and you know how the outrage would be if that happened?
I know. But I think people are looking at this. They're looking at it as tradition, right?
Oh, so, yes, because we never break tradition.
I'm just saying.
Fantastic Four. The end.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So in an interview with Kate Mara this past week.
Oh my God. She needs to keep her mouth shut.
I've never been a fan of comics, she said in a new interview. I've actually never even read one. I was going to for this movie, but the director said it wasn't necessary.
No, it isn't, because it isn't based on any comic book.
It will not be based on any history of anything already published.
Uh-huh.
That's what she said in her interview.
Yeah,
so
but
there you go.
I just want to be clear. If you are going to be outraged over this,
yes.
Get mad at the director and the producers. I have no problem with Kate Mara being
and Fox.
No, I have no problem with Kate Mara. I mean, I don't know that she's the right choice for Sue Storm.
Yes,
but
that's again not her fault.
I'm not upset with her for these quotes. I'm upset with the fact that she was told these things, and this is what we've come to expect.
Right, that's what I mean. The directors and producers, like
yes.
People are mad at, like, oh, so what? I'm not.
Yeah,
they don't have to be a super fan to play a character.
Daredevil.
Yep.
The first, the what Kevin Feige is saying is that the show will exist on its own before being connected to the rest of the Marvel Universe. So it will exist in the world of the Marvel Universe. But what he's saying is, don't expect to see Matt Murdock in Avengers 3, I think is what he, or an Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's
or
fine. That I have a problem
I think
with
that is what he's saying. So I'm okay with that.
Kelly McDonald, by the way. I looked it up.
Got it.
Kelly
McDonald. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I'm fine.
I don't think they should connect. It'd be too much shit on screen.
Yeah.
I mean, like a quick, you know, flyby in the middle of,
you know, maybe if they're in New York, Fury mentions Matt Murdock or something like that.
It's on one of the the hologram fucking things in the background. That's cool. Fine. But I don't want to see that much.
We don't need to see.
We don't need to add more and more and more characters
mushed together. Yeah,
no reason for that. No.
Okay. That's it for news. Mushed. We do have one more voicemail. Do we want to just save it? We have three more voicemails. Do we want to just save them all for segment
two? Yeah, let's just zoom in segment two. That.
All right, let's take our first break.
Woo!
With this episode.
And we will do that, OG, on this episode 336, Phones Are A-Ringin'.
425-920-6050.
Looking to go to the biggest internet radio live event on the Eastern Seaboard? Well, go to the second annual More Like Radio live event, a tribute to Otto Peterson, Saturday, August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair. Come see your favorite comedians and possibly Mersh if you could get a ride. $10 suggested donation. All proceeds would go to benefit the Otto Peterson family. August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair.
Hey guys, this is Doesn't Get a Guy Jeff from Albuquerque, Twitter handle Fuzzy Press. I just finished having a con here in Albuquerque called ACE. They had Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor, Andy Kuhn, a bunch of other guys. We luckily yet again had the Batmobile, and miraculously I noticed we had no Lou Ferrigno this year, so I don't know what was actually going on, but you know, it's just sometimes the way it goes. I was listening to your podcast, the last one, and I totally dug the Star Wars. I have to admit, with OG, he is getting better. I have actually listened to all of the episodes, and it's time to get ready for San Diego, and I'm out there running some panels and doing some stuff for Small Comics. I'm working with the group that produces Watson and Holmes. I think I sent OG. Sorry, guys. OG, a thing about the Rat Queens, and Watson and Holmes is up for an award this year, so for a new book about an old story. And I'm mostly calling because I saw the post OG threw out there about the female Thor, and hoping to hear what you guys have to say about that. But Marvel seems like they're turning into Hollywood, where they can't come up with an original idea, and they're just trashing everything, and the new cast, the new Thor, and seems like a difficult time to be doing that to people when they're finally on track with their movies. So take it easy, guys. I'll report back after San Diego. Bye.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 336, The Phones, They Are A-Ringing.
It's just phones
425.
Oh, Jesus.
920-6050.
Phones are A-Ringing.
I added a little bit of flavor.
A little bit of article.
It's not flavor. It's a word. It's unnecessary.
You added some articles there.
That's all right.
It's okay.
Let's go to the voicemail. Doesn't get a guy. Clearly doesn't get that we talked about the Thor thing during segment one.
How did he not know? Just listen to this episode and you'll obviously tell it. Yeah, I mean, come on.
No, in all seriousness, we just had too many voicemails. And we just had to break it up.
I love Doesn't Get a Guy.
I think it's awesome that you own that. I've said that while we're listening.
Yeah.
So he talked about, you know, this is something also that we want to hear from you guys. Shops, cons, shows, anything that's in your hometown or your community or something that you attend, we want to hear about those places. We're happy to promote the little guys on this show because we think the big shows get enough promotion.
Sure.
And they suck. Mostly.
Yeah.
Albuquerque. Sounds like he had a good time down there.
Was the convention, I think, is that right?
Something like that, yeah. He's looking, doesn't get a guy was looking for Lou Ferrigno. Obviously, doesn't get that Lou Ferrigno died. So.
No, and all kidding aside, isn't he working on the Avengers?
As what?
I thought that I heard, and I could be way off on this, but I thought that I heard that he actually voiced the one or two lines that Hulk had as Hulk.
No, that was Ruffalo.
Ruffalo voiced Hulk as well.
I think he did.
I could be wrong, but okay. I thought that I heard that he voiced Hulk for Avengers. I might be wrong.
I am now remembering this, but I don't know if it's because you're convincing me or not.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
The other thing I want to address that he said, thank you. And again, thank you. Thank you for calling in about the con, and we appreciate it. And we want to hear from more of you on the GVM line.
You're right.
I'm right, right? He voiced the lines that Hulk had in Avengers. So there you go.
The GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And tell us all about these places and things that you're doing. The other thing that he mentioned, which I thought was clearly living up to his name, doesn't get a guy. OG's acting has gotten better. Really? OG's acting has gotten better.
That's right.
On what planet?
Listen.
Hoth.
Did you listen? Did you listen to last week's episode?
Yeah.
I got that breathing down fine.
Yeah.
It's true. It only took you one take.
That's it.
Yeah. The breathing, which actually meant that he was actually in the entire scene, unlike the Empire Strikes Back version, where apparently Vader held his breath for a while.
Well, in Empire Strikes Back, he was baking pancakes, and it would just pop his head into the scene to deliver his line, and then go back to baking pancakes.
He had some bacon pancakes.
He didn't want to burn it.
Yeah. You know how it is.
Terrible.
It's flapjacks.
Anyway, so thank you, Doesn't Get a Guy, for your contributions. And yeah, I mean, Albuquerque sounds like a nice little show. Is Jimmy Palmiotti at every show? Is he like the new Lou Ferrigno?
Well, you know what? With the success of the new Harlequin book, I think he's probably back in the spotlight a bit. And good for him. I'm actually really enjoying the new Harlequin book.
Also,
I'm really liking it, and I'm not going to lie.
Does this mean that he can take some stuff back from the show for us? He's going to San Diego?
If you're asking if Doesn't Get a Guy has room.
If Doesn't Get a Guy is going to San Diego, is that what I heard? We need mules. So
please inquire within.
Yes. Drop a line over to geekstuffog@gmail.com. I literally need two, possibly three things.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
You know, before we move on to comic books, not a voicemail, but we did get some comments on an episode post. We should address those, right?
I forgot about that.
I'm trying to see if I have them. I should have them. Oh, do you have them? I know I sent them to you.
I have the one. You only sent me one.
That was it. Yeah, it was just the one. By Agent Smith.
I think I have chiming in. Yeah, because we never have enough of that. Agent Smith chiming in. Here, I got it right here. It says, and everyone will get a good chuckle out of it, maybe Kev's memory is going at the age of 25. How unfortunate. I agree. But he already asked who else is on the More Like Radio Network. It's High Society Radio, which is, I guess, Pepper Hicks, who's a former Ron and Fez producer, Bronx Johnny, who's a former Ron and Fez intern, and Chris from Brooklyn, who fills the OG role, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think you've started a radio war with them yet, so I guess Kev can add that to his list of geek stuff projects.
Yeah, right after Eat Stuff. I think
I'm more likely to start a war with High Society than...
they're High Society like... High Society.
You got it.
How are they going to fight back? They're just going to be stoned in a corner.
Man, we're in war,
peace,
man.
Nah, man. No war, man.
Just like peanut butter in front of
us. Can I just say this, too? Even if we do start a radio war with High Society, which I'm all for, I actually love Pepper Hicks.
Yeah, Pepper's a good guy.
Pepper's a great guy.
Bronx Johnny's a good guy,
I don't. I might know those guys. I don't remember them, but I know Pepper.
Yeah.
You know, I knew Pepper.
Like, you
for
know
a bit
Pepper.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'm totally cool if they want to get into a radio war with us. I'm fine with that.
All right. That live show is coming up in August, too.
Oh, we
got to
go.
More
what
like
is
radio.
That? That's a Saturday, right?
Yeah. You probably heard the spot during the commercial break. I ran a spot for
during
the commercial break last week and this week.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't remember the exact date, but it is a Saturday. So if you're local and in Montclair, come and check it out.
Yeah, I got to do that. I hope my double's on.
It's right at Jake's in Montclair. So
yeah, we'll be there. We will definitely be there.
By. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And
we will be,
we perhaps start a radio war right there.
Yeah, you never know. Throw down at Jake's.
Could do it.
All right.
Let's move into comics. I read Grayson. It was good, except that I don't get it.
Was that the one shot?
I don't think it's a one-shot. I think it's a new book.
Oh, no. I'm thinking there was some new book having to do with Damian coming back.
No. But this is
like something Robin Returns Omega or something.
This is just about Dick Grayson, and he's working for some like government group now, but I don't understand. But they think he's dead. Like the rest of the Bat Universe think he's dead. I don't fucking know. I don't get it. It was good, but I don't get the backstory. So anyway,
so
I regret
DC.wikia.
There you go. All right, what do you
I
have?
I picked up Brian Lee O'Malley, who you may know as the creator of the Scott Pilgrim series, has a brand new graphic novel out called Seconds.
Now, was this released as individual issues or
no.
just as a
no,
graphic
it's,
novel?
I think
this
it's
is a one-off, okay. like blankets.
Right, right, okay.
And yeah, it's so it's in that style, the same as Scott Pilgrim was. I'm trying to give you a little. Oh, here, Katie's got it pretty good. She's a talented young chef, runs a successful restaurant, and she has big plans to open an even better one. Then all at once, progress on the new location bogs down. Her charming ex-boyfriend pops up. Her fling with another chef goes sour, and her best waitress gets badly hurt. And just like that, Katie's life goes from pretty good to not so much. What she needs is a second chance. Everyone deserves one, after all, but they don't come easy. Luckily for Katie, a mysterious girl appears in the middle of a night with simple instructions for a do-it-yourself do-over. 1, write your mistake. 2, ingest one mushroom. 3, go to sleep. 4, wake anew. That's just a little tease.
Is it Ramona Flowers?
God, I wish it was Ramona Flowers.
So I think it's going to be, my guess, riddled with pop culture references.
Yeah, I hope so.
No.
Fun, lighthearted,
definitely
and
fun.
Adorable. That's,
yeah,
that's my
I actually really want to read it. I love Scott Pilgrim. So
it's good.
And I also
lots of
up,
Canadian references too. I'm sure
there are.
Yeah, lots of. I picked up The Joker, a celebration of 75 years.
You picked up The Joker?
I know. I'm shocked too.
Said no one ever.
Ever. I know. And what's great about this is this is actually. There's two of these. There's a Batman version and a Joker version, which I think is great. And it's just celebrating 75 years of the Batman universe and the characters, Batman and Joker, obviously. It's riddled with art by everybody you've ever heard of. Bob Kane, Bill Finger, Don Cameron, Dick Sprang, Neil Adams, Denny O'Neill, Steve Englehart, Marshall Rogers, Paul Dini, Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, and much, much more.
Lovely.
And they're giving you a taste of some of the better Batman stories. It says they're the Killer Clown's most memorable adventures from his 1940 debut to his recent reign of terror in the death of the family. So they're giving you a little taste of the character. Nice hardcover bound book.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Celebratory. I'm a Joker fan, so I picked it up.
What's the cover originally from?
Has he come back since?
He's still not back, no. Yeah.
That's
it's still his daughter is wreaking havoc.
I don't recall
with his
that,
face.
I don't recall
to it.
What that cover.
I feel
from.
Like I've seen that cover before.
Yeah, you
but
have,
but I don't know what.
I don't know that they use it as a cover. They might have. I don't recall what it is something? Though. Yeah.
All right. Do you have any comics? I still haven't read Saga number 20.
Yeah, me neither.
So I'm behind.
I got to do it.
Wow, really, guys?
Yeah,
really.
I'm also behind.
You haven't still haven't read Saga what 6, 7? Did you even get that far?
I'm caught up.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We have a couple more voicemails. Let's go into the next one because it brings us into product.
I'm caught up on the trades.
Hey, guys. It's Aileen from October Toys and Toy Break. I just finished listening to episode 335. Excellent, as always. Just wanted to call in to say, first of all, thank you for helping promote our recent Skeleton Warriors Kickstarter and, of course, all of our OTMFG releases. And since you were struggling with our little broccoli gnome guy's name, it's actually pronounced Brocottle. That's Brocottle. Although I did kind of like when you were saying Brocottal. It sounds much fancier. Anyway, thanks a bunch for everything you guys do. We're going to miss you at San Diego Comic-Con, and hopefully we're going to see you all soon, but especially you, Kev. Bye-bye.
She totally loves me.
She does. It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Too George, bad for George. George is keeping us apart, but...
that's why we're not going to San Diego.
That's exactly why. No.
No, no, not at all.
I can't say anything mean about George, especially since I sure could use a few exclusives from San Diego, George and Aileen.
Listen, George and Aileen work very hard. They have a panel.
I know.
At San Diego this year.
Which means they'll be there.
They never get out of their booth.
Which means they have exhibitor badges, which means...
They find mules for them, and they're there.
I get
think,
it.
I think Ben might be their mule.
I need three things from the convention. Three things.
A couple of things real quick. I've just accepted the fact that I will never pronounce things properly.
So, Brocato.
Yeah.
I said that episode. I don't know.
So
don't
I'm fine.
Why anybody.
Brocatol is like a. It's Brocatol. Like a, it's like a digestant.
Did I say Brocato? I thought
Side
I said
Side effects Brocato. May include.
Am I Jamie Lee Curtis now?
Yeah.
You eat that yogurt.
A quick congrats to Ben from 3D Retro because he opened up, I believe that it's opened already. He opened up his brick and mortar.
Oh, really?
And it looks awesome. I've been following the progress and out there in LA or in the outskirts of LA somewhere.
The other message, of course, to our friends over at October Toys is save some floor space for Kevin. In April, I will be out for celebration.
There you go.
And I will need some floor.
And I believe, although...
And it's my birthday.
I'm not sure if it's been announced yet, but
You're turning 25?
26.
Sorry, got it.
I think the last Mouseketeer Army piece is coming out at San Diego.
Really?
I think it's going to be with 3D Retro. I'm not 100% sure on that yet.
You're going to fit on the show?
So, I'll make room.
Who's your mule?
I'll redesign.
Who's your mule?
I got connections.
They're pretty awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's the one with the mohawk is the third one. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Who's Manly Art?
Jason Chalker.
Jason Chalker. Yeah. Do you see his piece?
Is it the C-3PO?
C-3PO. And I immediately contacted the mayor, Smack.
Yeah.
Everybody,
yeah.
Nicknames. We should just call them Nicknames. I immediately contacted Nicknames, and I said, are you in touch with Chalker? He goes, I'm talking to him right now. I'm like, tell him I got to have one of those pieces. And he said he already shipped them to San Diego. So George and Aileen... That would definitely be on the list. Listen, you know, Chalker.
And all we've been joking, but seriously, anybody that's going, that's willing to help us out, we find. Look, there's always someone that helps us each year.
Yeah,
I've had Matt from Awesome Toy Blog, who I refer people to now for the San Diego coverage because he's got some of the best out there right now.
He'll be providing for us this year. Right?
Matt has helped us in the past, and you know me in the past. So there's always someone that's willing to help. So if you're seriously willing to help, let us know.
Three things. The Manly Art
C-3PO. Yeah.
The Jax Shadow Trooper.
Right.
And the Jabba.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the 6-inch
Scott Tolleson has a piece that I really want.
Oh, really? I did see a whole bunch of other pieces, but I got
it. There's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's every single exclusive from Gentle Giant.
Last week you were like, no, there's no more. But then
they said there was no more, and then they snuck one in.
It's the Astromech droid.
Yeah.
The R2KT.
Yeah.
That's the one for cancer awareness for that little girl.
Yeah,
for now, the little years ago, who put out... Someone put out a figure of that, didn't
Hasbro.
They? Was it Hasbro?
Yeah, that was a Hasbro San Diego. Yep.
Years ago. Yeah. We were at that one, I think.
We were at that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I didn't buy it either, and then I ended up paying through the neck for it years later. But yeah, they snuck one more in there on me. Yeah, but and that just makes it a full sweep for me. Every one of the Gentle Giant ones is one that I really want to have.
Nice.
So yeah, so once again, anyone going to San Diego, please reach out to us. We will, you know, we will in some way compensate you for your time and efforts. I just have three small requests. They're not that big.
One's pretty big.
Which one?
The Jabba? Shadow Trooper?
He's pretty big.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be that hard to get.
I don't think he's going
to
be a big seller.
Jabba's going to be the hardest
one to get. Yeah, and the Chalker one is only 50 pieces. But I think George and Aileen could maybe work one of those out.
You're making a lot of assumptions.
I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping.
Right. Those are cute.
Let's move forward with product.
Yeah.
We've got two things tonight. This is so I got two pieces from the Dunny Art of War series.
These are kind of nice.
There's only a handful that I really wanted, and I was fortunate in that I got two of the ones that I wanted. The first one that I got was the Drill One piece, which I really, really wanted. I'm really a fan of Drill's work.
I love that one.
I like the design on it.
And that's the rarest one.
That's one of them, yeah. And there's a couple variants on it as well. There's three versions of that one.
There's three versions, yeah.
I really like
I
did not
get,
but I really like the Three Knights.
The Three Knights?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, I see that.
Those are really cool.
Are those knights?
They are. They're kind of if you see it in person, it's kind of like the pig.
Oh, the visor?
The pig visor, you know, the pointed.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got like a sword, and they're kind of cool. Huh. And actually, I'm assuming the same artist did a very similar piece for the post-apocalyptic line, because they're very similar.
It does look very familiar, yeah.
And then the other piece that I really wanted, again, because it goes with the apocalypse and the post-apocalypse line, was the Huck.
Yeah, the Huck, Huck G. That's one I would like.
So that will go up there with the rest of that line.
Is that the same mask?
Yeah, because it's clans.
Oh, that's right.
So if you remember, they were broken out into like clans.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's another member of that clan.
Nice. Did you get?
These are the only two I got.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like the Mongolian.
The Shao Tzu one? Yeah.
Yeah, that one. He's kind of okay. That one I'd like to get.
Napoleon is kind of cute.
Who's the one next to Napoleon?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Shao Tzu one.
Oh.
And that's John Paul Kaiser, I believe.
I was going to say, that looks like John Paul Kaiser. Yeah. No, this one.
The Grim Reaper, the bird. Yeah, the Mongolian. The
Mongolian one.
Yeah, I think that's Kano is the artist on that one.
Okay.
I kind of like the Grim Reaper bird.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really cool looking, too. I like the
Reaper bird.
Right? I mean, what else would you call that?
That's exactly what I would call it. Grim Reaper bird.
The Grim Peeper.
But, so, there's a couple of cool ones in the line.
There's a couple of cool ones in here. So, oh, man, I definitely get that Mongolian.
I might still reach out to them. If you really want that Mongolian one, we might be able to make that happen, so.
Ooh, sweet.
So check those out. Also, from Kid Robot, we don't have him in studio, but the big scale Bebop and Rocksteady, like the 8-inch or the 10-inch ones are out. They're awesome. They're so cool looking.
Nice.
But let's move away from Kid Robot.
Yes.
Let's go to our friends at Think Geek.
Oh my God. It's been such a while since we had some Think Geek stuff to talk about, and I'm really, really ecstatic that they're back on. What?
You know what I'm excited to see this summer?
What?
The tactical barbecue apron.
What? You know,
I use that tactical
barbecue.
Yeah. That wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
Statistically, two out of the three people in this room actually own a
I'm aware of that.
And how many listeners have too? We gave out a bunch
last year.
I'm aware. One person did that.
Remember one guy? We never sent it to him, but he came and picked it up at New York Comic Con. Yep.
That was awesome.
All right. So from Think Geek,
and I know OG is terribly excited about this. You didn't crack it though. The sound.
I have not yet cracked it.
You should crack. You know, we should put the show on hold for a second.
All right.
And let you crack that box.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl. All right, yeah, so it has been cracked.
Uh-huh.
So this is the...
I am uber impressed.
This is the Inevitable Betrayal Dinosaurs with Sound Collection.
Right.
Of course, this is from that TV show, what? Firefly. Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Wow.
A long time since we did that bit.
Well, I couldn't not say it in this regard.
That's true. Yeah.
So this is the. I don't think it's a T-Rex. Now that I look at it, because the T-Rex did not have that horn on its nose.
Nope, it's something else.
So it's an Alta. Alta box.
It doesn't.
What it says. But it is a Stegosaurus, right? And the other large is an Allosaurus or something like that. But these are
Asaurus.
These are replicas of what you see in the show.
Right.
And they do speak. I don't know that you're going to be able to hear this, but I'm going to try my hardest. Let's see. I don't know that that's going to come through. It might. It picked up the air conditioner last week, so it might pick that up.
And isn't there a response?
But there is
that's
a
because
response,
we don't have our microphones from vending machines.
That's right. Yep. Oh, I think that one picked up.
You know what's awesome? I'm just looking here. This is actually a Think Geek product. So Think Geek made this. And I think they're great. You know, fans of Firefly.
And I can repair those ghetto ones that I have on my display shelf up there.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what
terrible.
Those were from?
No.
Those are from when I did wash.
Yeah.
For Halloween that one year. And I wanted an accessory to carry around with me. So I got two generic looking dinosaurs that kind of look like the ones from the show.
So I have to say, I'm looking at the instructions, right?
Yeah.
It looks like there were three instructions.
Okay.
But they put a massive sticker over it.
Hold on, let me see.
Which just reduced it to two instructions. I'm wondering what happened there, but it looks really, really funny.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I could peel the sticker.
What the original third instruction was? Can you actually peel it?
Ooh, it's like an Easter egg
won't
secret.
Won't that reduce the value of...
Come on, sir.
I'm just saying.
Unpackaged. Hold on, I'm close.
Oh no. Go back to the part that's coming off clean.
It says, starting... Oh, you know what? All right, so I can't read the whole thing, but it gives you what the start is in order to have the entire conversation.
Oh, is that what it is?
It gives you like the starting point, and then you could push them back and forth to play the entire conversation.
Well, that's interesting. Cute. So it comes in a nice box, got some nice graphics on it, of course. Think Geek products. I don't really know where they come up with some of this stuff.
No, but... In all seriousness, if you could come up with a goofy thing from this show that hadn't been previously
that hasn't been
done,
made yet,
this is great. I mean, we've seen the Fruity Odie bars and all the replicas and all that stuff.
Right.
This is a great great prop replica featuring authentic voice acting from the show.
Did they pull the sounds from the show, do you think? Or did they have Tudyk redo it?
No, I think they probably pulled it from the show.
That's cool. It sounds like a direct pull from the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely you want to check those out over at thinkgeek.com. That's thinkgeek.com. Did I mention thinkgeek.com?
Ah, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
What? And do we got a price on those? Can we look up a price? And you know, they
priceless,
both come
if you want them.
Yes, they are priceless. You should definitely check those out and check out the other fine products over at thinkgeek.com. We're going to be bringing you ThinkGeek product every week for the next several weeks, actually, because they have a whole bunch of great stuff, and we really want you guys to definitely check out the stuff going over at ThinkGeek. Now, you know, these sites come and these sites go, but ThinkGeek has been around a long time.
And they're part of this show in a lot of ways.
For a really long time, yeah. And they have been really, really responsible for some amazing products, this being one of. What's that, sir?
So they're normally $29.99, but they are currently on sale for $17.99.
Wow.
But also, some other... replicas from that show. Kaylee's parasol prop replica.
Oh, really?
Which looks really cool. The Independence flag, which I might have to get.
Really?
And hang on my flag outside.
Okay.
You know, except for when I'm hanging the American flag. Yeah, there's some great stuff. The board game.
Nice.
Oh, Kaylee inspired messenger bag. Lots of posters. Wow, there's lots of stuff.
They have a lot of Firefly stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see, I don't know if it's on ThinkGeek site, did you see the 12-inch Mal?
I did, and I it's a QMX piece.
Yeah.
It's about the size of my foot, it's about the cost of my cutting off my foot.
It really is nice, though.
It's amazing. It's better than some of the other things we've seen in the past. But,
yes.
But I just don't think that I could.
Just saying.
I just don't think
just saying, putting it out there.
Yeah.
And that said, once again, guys, check out thinkgeek.com and be excited because we're going to have more ThinkGeek stuff next week.
We still have one more voicemail.
Jesus.
We still have one more voicemail.
I like the fact that
almost an hour and a half. I just want to say that.
I like the fact that we ended on Aileen's, you know, missing Kev phone call. Should we hold off the other one?
No, we absolutely should not. It's far too important to play this week.
All right.
So we are going to play that now.
Yep. One more from the GVM line.
And that's right.
425-920-6050.
Hey, Big Kev, OG Scapegoat. Hello again, fellas. Wanted to give you a update. This is Superfan David D., the original Superfan David D., checking in with you about New York Comic Con. I was able to get tickets the following week. I was able to get the three-day tickets and the single day. So I was able to get the four-day total. It cost me about $5 more, but that's not a problem. I was very happy to get the tickets. A couple of burps in the system. I mean, we were in the queue for a long time, and at one point it said they were all sold out, which got me bummed out, but actually I refreshed the screen and I was able to buy the tickets. So I will be at New York Comic Con. Very happy that I got the tickets. Sorry that a lot of people I know were sold out. And like you said, keep an eye on the retailers that are selling the tickets. They'll be selling the 4-day and the 3-day, what have you. Just keep looking and keep haunting your local comics retailer. The Eternal Con in Long Island, by the way, next year will be June 14th and 15th. June 14th, 15th, 2015. So I hope you guys will make the journey out to the wilds of Long Island and join us. It was a great show, great 2-day show. I did contact OG, and I did two programs in the show. One panel was about original art collecting, which was a lot of fun, a lot of information given out there. And the other panel I did was something called Real Men Make Comics. Search that on YouTube, Real Men Make Comics, with Jimmy Palmiotti, Frank Thierry, and Billy Tucci. Very informative about the business, about how these guys make a living, and they were just great fun and an immense amount of laughs. So if you want to laugh, hey, I look at it this way. It's 40 minutes of your life you'll never get back, but I think you'll enjoy it, guaranteed. Anyway, guys, Superfan David D here with better news about New York Comic Con, hoping I'm going to see you, and please give me the inside track on if you're going to be there or not. Thanks again for all the programming, guys. Really appreciate all the recent episodes. I've been catching up with them. You really get them out fast. Thanks again. Take care.
So, there you go. Closing out the show with Superfan David D. That's right. Yeah, I checked out the panels that he was talking about from that Eternal Con out in Long Island. Yeah. I'd love to go next. I think he said it was next June.
June.
I'd love to go. The panels were great. I think I have the links to those, so I'll try to post those
great
in the show notes.
And we're also really happy that Superfan David D got
his 4-day passes. Yeah.
From he got 3-day passes.
Oh, I thought he said he got 4.
He got three days and then one day.
A single day.
Oh, okay.
And it cost $5
bucks
more than
more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of getting passes for Comic-Con.
Well, hold on, but it's important.
Don't get ahead
what
of
he
yourself.
Said, it's important what he said is please check out that list of retailers.
Yeah.
Clearly, here's an example of someone who got locked out during the online sale, but was able to still get what he wanted from a retailer.
Sure.
So it is a viable venue to do that, and we recommend that you check it out. All right. Now, in regards to us in New York Comic-Con.
Yep. You hope to see us there? Well, so do we.
We hope to see us there as well. We are almost 100% positive that we can go, provided we get a little bit of help.
Yep.
I mean, is that a fair way to put it?
We're trying to be nice as we can.
I think the better way to say it would be that this is the time where normally we would start the begathon.
That's right. I was going to get to that.
The begathon actually has a more valuable purpose this time around.
Yes.
Even though we do need new equipment.
That's right.
Even though we would like to make some upgrades and do some other things, because we do have big plans for the second half of this year and the first half of 2015, or as I call it, Star Wars year.
That's right.
We need to put some of those plans on hold because we would like very much to attend New York Comic Con. Have a wonderful table, guests, exclusives, and so on.
In a different location, which we think will be much better for us.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
So I know the tentative number of the booth.
Yes.
I think it's 127.
Okay.
We're kind of on the outskirts of the block.
Okay.
I don't know where it is. I have an idea where it is.
Right.
I don't know who our neighbors are. But I don't know what's... We could be surrounded by cosplayers.
But we should say that this is tentative in regards to...
Tentative.
We still have to...
Oh, yeah.
We have to
this
raise the...
Very tentative.
The funds to get
correct.
There.
And that's kind of the thrust of what we're talking about.
I want to thank everybody who has donated thus far.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. We appreciate it. I mean, one donation that came in was amazingly generous.
Yes.
I don't want to blow up that dude's spot, but you know who you are.
Yeah.
And thank you.
It wasn't Cornboy.
Thank you. It was not Cornboy. But what I do want to say, and this will go for if you've already made a donation, all right? We didn't do an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter because we talked about it, but we weren't sure that we could do like incentives right and all those things. So we didn't want to go that angle.
We have another idea for that that's coming in 2015.
Right.
So we don't want to muddle the waters.
But what
that.
I will say is if you make a donation of, let's say $15 or more, and if you've already made a donation of that much, we will honor this for you. We will send you a set of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff cards from the Art Hustle series.
Ooh.
We'll do that for the first 20 people who make a donation of 15 or more.
And we will sign them to you.
We will personalize them to you.
And you'll even have the rare scapegoat autograph on there.
That's
very
right.
Rare.
The very rare scapegoat autograph. It's never true. Before appearing on a card. So that's a little
dialing people.
That's a little incentive. And yeah. I should say that we are working on other things.
Yeah.
That if we actually get to New York Comic Con, we may have t-shirts this year.
Yeah.
Because we're working on a new logo that I hope to be able to get on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So that's happening. But again, this requires some help from you.
I gave some constructive criticism about that logo.
You did. I think it was all well received. I spoke to that person.
Did you read that the email?
Yes.
Gave you? Did you like it? I opened it in honor to you.
Yeah, I agree with most of it.
I spoke to that person today. He's okay with all the.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was all good.
Wait. So what's the goal? What's the goal? We're trying to raise?
So the goal.
Anything.
Well, no. Look, a lot of people have been asking, and I think it's fair that we put out there.
Sure.
What our goal is, and I haven't figured out a way to track our progress, but I will.
Yeah, we got to.
The goal, updated in the posts online. How about that?
The very simple goal, $10,000.
Yes,
very simple.
Yeah. The honest to God goal, I think, is $1,250.
Right.
Is what we said. Is what we're trying to raise. We have not raised that much yet.
No,
not even close.
It's just to get to Comic-Con.
But what I will say is
on the road.
On the road to Comic-Con. Okay. We have raised. I think it's $160 thus far. And this is the first time we're mentioning on the show, so that's pretty generous.
Sure.
Previously, it just came from Facebook and Twitter, so thank you. The other thing that I will say is if we raise more than the $1,250, we're not pocketing the money.
Yeah.
All of that money is just going to roll into the things that the Begathon would normally go to.
That I just mentioned.
Right, which is...
We need new equipment.
New equipment. And actually, one of the things I'd like to put on that list, if we break that goal, is a new portable recorder to help us better cover New York Comic Con. Because the money that we're talking about really is going to cover the booth, and the ability to do the show from the booth,
right?
Which I think is pretty important.
Which is paying for an outlet,
in case
you're wondering.
an outlet and Wi-Fi, because I think we're going to try to do a much better job broadcasting from the booth than we did last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got some great interviews last year, but our live coverage was a bit rough.
Yeah.
Because of some of the limitations that we had. Yeah. So I think we'll be able to do that much better this year. So if we raise above the $1,250, that would be that goal. But so we're asking you, look, if you've been a fan of the show for a week or for 8 years.
Put it in your estate if you die. Sorry, that's from NPR.
Yeah.
I always find that amusing.
Any donations is appreciated.
Called? Legacy giving?
Yeah, legacy giving. Yeah. So go to
bigkevsgeekstuff.com.
And you'll see for this show and all over the page, you'll see some PayPal donation links.
Right.
Click that button. Choose the amount. If it's over 15, we'll get you those
cards.
And if it's over 20, that's amazing. And if it's over $100,
you know what?
I'm tossing this out there too. A great way to
fly out to your hometown.
A great way to help with this. You will. You'll take them out all day. Yeah. A great way to help with this. Also, by the way, if you have a blog.
Yeah.
A band, a show, or something else you want to advertise.
If you're starting a podcast,
you could become a sponsor of this show. All of the funds that we get from our advertising between now and New York Comic Con is going to go into our New York Comic Con fund. So if you want to advertise on the show, reach out to us. We could certainly talk to you, put together a package that works for
your
product. And that's a good way to do it as well.
Yeah.
How about that? That works?
All good ways.
Absolutely.
So, of course, the wrap-up music is playing.
It is indeed.
The hour and 35-minute mark now. So, don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can also find us on Twitter, at GeekStuffOG. Click
the PayPal button. Sorry, Scapegoat GS.
Big Kev G.
BK GeekStuff.
That one.
You can find us over at Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. YouTube is the same thing. YouTube channel is BK Geekstuff. Of course, again, don't forget to check out the PayPal link for donations into the show. We really appreciate that. I would say that a great way to help the show is through our Amazon affiliate link.
Yeah.
However, I will say that the way the Amazon affiliate link works, it will not really help us with the New York Comic Con because it is several months behind. right. when the purchase is made. So while we certainly encourage you to continue to use that, and that will help us yeah. in the future, that is not a great way to help us for New York Comic Con. Right. Yeah. But again, we appreciate everybody that continues to use that
Absolutely.
As well. And I think that might be it. Am I missing anything?
Absolutely.
What am I missing?
One of the most important parts of this show, which what is? We hope to be the next couple of shows. The GVM line.
425-920-6050. Right. What did I say? 15 calls? 20 calls? How 10, many calls? 10 calls. 10 calls. 10 calls.
15,000 was the goal for the Begathon. Yeah.
10 quality calls.
Quality.
Right? So no just fuck you guys. Like, that doesn't count.
Yep.
10 quality calls in the next 2 weeks. And we will we'll put together a voicemail show.
Ladies, don't be shy.
That's right.
You know, Aileen doesn't have to be the only... Well, she hasn't been the only female caller, but, you know.
And I will say, just as a quick teaser, that between now and New York Comic Con, we may have one or two other local live appearances.
Yes.
Indeed.
So we can't
I will be
divulge
putting,
all that information
I will
yet,
be putting a hat out in front where you nice. Can put money live.
That's right.
If and you he don't feel comfortable with PayPal.
He will be dancing dance. Erotically.
Nope.
Erotically.
to raise the funds.
Nope.
But yeah, that's it.
With that, OG, we will bring this exciting yet long episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close the way we end all episodes, by saying good night, Dave the Enforcer Logano, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under trees.